Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. We're talking about the COVID vaccine with Paul from Seattle with the doctors.
Go ahead, Paul.
I guess now? My concern was, you know, it was never done correctly with phase four drug trials. And I think the other one by J&J was just more of a standard, dead vaccine. So that one, though it had complications, it was more the normal vaccine.
It was a more normal vaccine, you're right. But it did have higher adverse effects associated with it. Yeah, you know, I have said it a couple of times now, and I'll do it one more time. I see the pros and the cons. When the lab in Wuhan screwed up and let the vaccine out into the local neighborhood, and then eventually it came over to us, we were under misapprehension because it is related to the SARS virus. Okay, mm-hmm. The formal name for this is SARS-CoV-2,
right?
Yeah, and so because SARS had a very, very high fatality rate. I mean, it killed over half the people that got infected, and then we had a variant of it that showed up in the Middle East later that also had a very high death rate associated with it. So when this variant of SARS came out, the Royal College in London, that was the guys who screwed up the most, they said, oh my God, we've got a SARS that is now running wild in China and is coming to Europe and America. And there's going to be tens of millions of dead people in the streets. They're going to be toppling over, everywhere. 50% of the people that get infected are going to die. And so that was the advice that that Mr. Trump was given. The, quote, experts said, we've got this variant of SARS that's going to come running through the world, trigger a pandemic, and there may be a billion deaths as a result. So Mr. Trump said, well, not on my watch. We're going to make a vaccine. And so he gave the orders to the NIH, et cetera, and said, don't get in the way. We're going to take all the shortcuts, get the bureaucrats out of the way, get me the scientists, go to work. And he made a vaccine in 8 months.
There was already an mRNA vaccine because they used that technology.
Precisely. Yeah. We've been doing mRNA. Messenger RNA vaccine research, since the late 70s and early 80s when HIV came around.
Correct.
The technology was originally developed as a way of helping us understand and fight HIV.
Yeah.
But at any rate, they made this incredible moonshot sort of push. They made a vaccine in world record time faster than anybody believed it could be done. That was the good news. The bad news was you can't do 5 years of testing in a vaccine that you've just produced in 8 months.
Bingo.
It's impossible.
And so we're still in drug trials.
Yeah, we basically are. And so you know, the good news is we got a vaccine. The even better news is Royal College of Medicine was all wet. Turned out COVID was not nearly as fatal as we thought it was going to be, you know.
Well,
and the other thing they overlooked is that RNA viruses mutate very, very quickly. And so the first variant was the most dangerous. The one that came out 6 months later was less dangerous. The one that came out 6 months later was less dangerous than that. And now for most people, mm-hmm. COVID is a mild cold.
Mm-hmm. Herd immunity.
Right. And SARS-02, I believe, only killed, I won't say only, because one death is bad. But, it was less than 10,000 worldwide.
Yes, yeah.
So it was not what they blew it up to be.
No, you know? But again, it did not turn into the pandemic it could have been. You know, they did lock everything down with the original SARS viruses. And it worked. Yeah. So
thank you. I just was curious about that. It sounds like we don't have a definitive answer, but you're leaning toward
I think it's unlikely. And like I said, just extrapolating from the other messenger RNA uses that we have. You know, it tends to be short term and it tends to be limited to the cells that are directly affected. And then as the cells are replaced, they have to get new messenger RNA. I really wish I could get that umbilical cord and placental intravenously once in my lifetime and it would permanently fix all of my cells to function as though I were a kid. Boy, would that be a blessing. Yeah.
You and everybody else is looking for that, Jerry.
Yeah, I'd be passing the stuff out like candy on Halloween.
Thank you.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Oh, we've got some more callers waiting, and we can get you into the call queue as well with our discussion about your health. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We are headed right over to Steve, who is calling in from Hobart. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat. I've got a quick little question before I get to my real question here, and are you familiar with Dr. Barbara O'Neill?
She's name is really ringing a bell. She's in our area, isn't she?
I'm not sure where she's at, but she's popping up everywhere online, my homepage, and on Facebook, and everywhere. And she's been interviewed on Jesse Waters' show and Tucker Carlson, and she's all over the place. I was curious if she's a genius or a quack, but I guess you're not familiar enough with her to know.
No, but I will. Obviously, I don't take enough time to look at the at much of the internet, except for the research papers. I live in the National Institute of Health database.
Yeah. Okay, so what was there something specific she said that intrigued you?
Well, I was just familiar if you were aware of her and if I should listen to anything she says, but that's not the reason I called.
Okay, because I think I've seen her on social media, and I think she promotes what more natural and healthier lifestyle, right? More natural substances for cures?
She does. Yeah. Yes, she does. Yep. And I believe she's a cardiologist is her background, but so... Okay, my question is, I was diagnosed with a left bundle branch block about 25 plus years ago, and then I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy about 8 years ago, and now I'm scheduled to get a defibrillator plus pacemaker done here in about a week, and although I haven't had much in the way of symptoms, they're telling me that the red flag for needing this is if your heart is working like at 35% or less, you got to have this. And they say mine's at 31%. I guess my biggest concern is the restrictions I might have if I have this installed. Because I don't think you can undo it. So So if, you know, if they do this, I'm kind of stuck with it. So my concern is I've always been a workaholic. I'm 78 years old, so 2 days ago, and I've always been a workaholic. I'm very, very active. I work hard every day. I do a lot of welding and fabricating and running all sorts of power equipment and heavy equipment, chainsawing, splitting firewood, restoring classic cars. And I outwork my 30-year-old neighbors. And so I don't feel like I need to have this. And if I have it and it restricts my lifestyle to the point where I'm thinking about, well, maybe should I even do this? Because this is my life. I mean, what I do every day is very important to me. It's like, and if I wasn't able to do it, I'd probably wither away. So I'm just wondering if you're familiar with the restrictions I might have if I have this done.
Okay. Ray, you want to start with this, or shall I?
Yeah, no. I think in terms of physical activity, I think the congestive heart failure and the cardiomyopathy will be more restrictive for him if he leaves it uncorrected.
Absolutely true.
So at your age, as you're getting older, with your developing less and less cardiac output and having cardiomyopathy with the left bundle branch block, I think that poses a higher risk for restricting you in whatever it is that gives you joy. And putting a defibrillator and a pacemaker, yes, every procedure carries some side effects, but in controlled hands and in areas of excellence that do these routinely, I think it might even have the possibility of saving your life.
Yes.
And allowing you to continue to do what gives you joy for a longer period of time.
The only downsides I can see are things that involve very, very strong magnetic fields. He will never be able to have an MRI because those big giant magnets are going to, screw up his device.
So do your whole body MRI first.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't think I can schedule one that fast.
Yeah. Well, I just had one canceled. I was scheduled for a total body MRI. I just wanted one because I wanted one. I wanted to look at all my bod. And it turns out they won't do it because of my old shrapnel and gunshot wounds. So they said, we don't know where all that metal might be hidden, and we are not going to expose you to a 3T MRI. So you won't be able to get an MRI. You won't be able to, work in really high power electrical fields in the future. But really, you should be able to have a great life.
Might even save your life.
Yeah, my advice is go get it done and keep doing what you want to do with life.
Yeah.
Hope that helps, sir.
All right, Steve. Thank you for the call. We are taking a break. We'll be right back in just a moment with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. You can get into the call queue. We have room for you. So call now. Don't wait till the end of the show. 206-421-5757.
All right. During the break, I was looking at the news.
He was entertaining us.
Oh, no.
And he didn't dance.
He was laughing at something.
I was laughing. Well, because, we think that our politicians play rough. Mm. They say, it's a contact sport, and we go after each other and yada, yada.
You have to watch the Mike Tyson to know the contact sport.
Yes.
I mean, the biggest thing we really do is one party will claim that, somebody else hired a hooker when they were 15 or whatever. But here, the Philippines play rough.
Oh, okay.
Here, the president of the Philippines is Marcos. He's a member of the Marcos family. They were dictators for a while, and then they actually ran for office. And so Rodrigo Marcos is the current president. The vice president, I'm not quite sure how they get their vice presidents, but their vice president, for some reason, seems to believe that the president wants her dead.
Mm.
Now, I'm not sure why presidents would kill their vice president. I thought they'd be in the same party, and that's how you made him your vice. But
right.
Anyway, this takes vice to a whole new level. So the vice president of the Philippines actually got up in a news conference and said, I am deadly serious. I have hired some hitmen. And if anything happens to me, if there is an untimely demise of me, my hitmen are going to kill President Marcos and his wife and his children.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
So the Secret Service for the president have said, we are enhancing security for the president.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not taking it to chance.
Not taking it to chance. Now, I'm looking at the picture of this woman. I'm guessing she's maybe 30s, 40s at the most. So is this PMS to the max that she wants to kill? What the hell is going on here in the Philippines?
Huh. It's probably got to do with money and power, Jerry.
I'm sure it has to do with money and power. This is the Philippines. Come on.
Wow.
But I thought they were mild-mannered there. I didn't know they were so violent.
Well, Duterte before them, you know, was having drug dealers slaughtered in the streets.
There you go.
He sent out a thing to the police, don't bother arrest him, just kill him.
Yeah.
You know? And the number of drug dealers did go down.
Yeah. You think? Wow.
Yeah. You know, they don't arrest them and try them. They just shoot them on the spot.
Shoot
them. So, you know, the Philippines has had rough politics for a while. But I thought this was just a little odd.
Yeah.
To have the vice president call a press conference and confirm that she has indeed hired a group of hitmen and given them orders to kill the president, his wife, and their families if anything happens to her.
Yeah, she's securing her own life.
Yes. I'm just wondering, what did she hear and from whom?
And, you know, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I know nothing about Philippines politics, except I don't want to be there for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like,
no
they,
kidding.
They play a lot rougher than the Democrats and Republicans do, that's for sure. Anyway.
Okay, you ready for another call,
Let's
doctors?
Take a call.
Let's go to Linwood. We have Bill on the line. Welcome, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, hello there. My question is, I'm 67 years old now, but back when I was 25 years old, growing up in Bellevue, I was getting my pilot's license. And during an exam, the GP heard a heart murmur. So he referred me to a specialist, and they didn't do a lot of tests, but the specialist carefully listened to my heart, and apparently based on the location of the actual murmur, he had diagnosed me with something called mitral valve prolapse. Syndrome.
Yes.
And so, you know, it sounds ominous there, but he said
really.
In 1980... there was an Air Force study, Air Force Academy, that determined that this syndrome is actually more common than previously thought.
Correct.
Apparently, 16% of all incoming cadets 1 year had that syndrome. So my question is, later in life, I've never had any heart trouble. Am I now at increased risk for any heart problems because of that?
No. No, this is also called murmur click syndrome, because what you do is you hear the murmur. This is the blood flowing a little bit. It's not quite smooth laminar flow, so it makes a soft swish sound, and then as the valves pop closed, you hear a click.
Mm.
And so it's a swish click, swish click, swish click, and it is benign. It's like sometimes if you move wrong, you'll get one of your joints will crackle or pop. Same sort of thing. It's just the valves make a particular noise when they click closed, and the shape of the valve is such that the blood has a little turbulent flow as it goes through that gives you the swish and then the click as it closes. And he's right, about 16% of the population has it. It's not connected to premature death or disease in any way, shape, or form. It's just the way the good Lord shaped those people's valves.
I see. Okay. That's comforting. Thank you. And one more kind of easy question, I think. Is a doctor of chiropractic called an OD? What do they call that?
No. Chiropractics are DOs.
Oh, okay. DOs.
Okay. Osteopathic physicians. Or, sorry, DC. DC is a doctor of chiropractic. And a doctor of osteopathy is a DO.
Correct, yeah.
And DOs have training that is very, very analogous to MDs.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, what I want was just kind of ask kind of your opinion. Because of YouTube and the internet and things, it's pretty prolific. And there's quite a few DCs, like Palmer graduates, who have ventured into more medical science or health or nutrition, and they've really been vocal about putting forth a certain, you know, niche that they want to specialize in, and they really get far away sometimes from their real specialty. But I think because of, isn't it true, because of liability insurance, liability concerns that MDs have, that these DCs are a little more, they're a little more free to go out on a limb and get a thing going and have a big movement on the internet for their specialties. Is that true?
I guess in a sense, yeah. MDs are we are the most tightly regulated profession on earth. We've got more bodies and panels and groups and regulations looking at us. And also, MDs tend to make more money than DCs. Doctors of chiropractic usually have a fairly modest income. And lawyers go where the money is. Mm. The more money you make, the more chance you're going to get sued in America.
Mm. but also, DCs that delve into health and coaching may be able to sell supplements.
Yes.
And they may be able to give nutritional advice, but they cannot prescribe any medications. Definitely not controlled
not substances.
Legally. Not controlled substances legally.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I mean, they're quite limited legally in what they can do. And, you know, they're just not trained in the pharmacology and physiology and biochemistry that MDs and DOs are.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest difference in an MD and a DO is the DOs do more hands-on manipulation, more quasi-massage, stretching, that sort of thing, than MDs generally do. When I was a resident, our chief resident was a DO. Very, very smart guy. So, you know, if you're seeing a DO, I have no objection of any kind. If you're seeing a DC, then I sometimes have questions. Some DCs are very sensible people, and some are a little off the farm.
Yeah, I mean, chiropractic manipulations, either you believe in them or you don't. And if you do, then DC is a place to go. But then taking general medical advice from them, they're not qualified for that. They may learn more about it for own sake.
Yeah. But you know, it's kind of interesting. Chiropractors do a wide variety of different types of manipulation.
That's right.
You've got the old-fashioned Palmer chiropractor who is, you know, stretching and bending and popping in your back and your neck. And you got guys using these little tiny compression things with a ballpoint pen that are barely touching the skin.
Yeah.
You got people that are, you know, just working on the very, very top of your neck. And they do a lot of different things with very different techniques. Mm-hmm. And the reason you hear me with hesitation in my voice is simply because I don't see how such radically different approaches to the spine can all be equally valid. So I leave it at that, except one study that I did see 30-some years ago, people who come to an MD with low back pain are actually back to work 3 weeks slower than people that go to a chiropractor.
Oh.
So they get them back to work faster than we do. So something good at least was happening with the chiropractors in that study.
Yeah. Okay.
But what technique did they use?
I don't know.
No. Hey, Bill, hold the line. We'll be right back. And Ed, we're going to get to your question in just a few minutes after this break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. Bill on the line. We're talking about chiropractors. So, Bill, did you have any other questions or comments there?
No, I'll just wrap it up. No, that was just a really interesting topic. My main point was that I'm seeing quite a few of DCs, you know, venturing out. Like one of them specializes in weight loss now. Mm-hmm. Another one specializes in these really healthy elixirs, and he's gotten a lot of following on some great overall, you know, health things they come up with like that. So it's just an interesting thing how I think they're just not nearly as scared about getting sued or liability being a DC.
Sure.
Yeah.
And with it being their health related and not prescription related, there is nobody telling them they can't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all right.
If it helps,
thanks
hey,
very much.
You know, sure.
Yep. Take care.
Yeah.
All
good
right.
luck. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for the call, Bill. Let's take a moment and talk about our health analysis appointments, doctors. We have so many people that will call in and say, I am a patient at Longevity and we wish more of you were. Yeah,
yes.
Because we want you to feel better. We want you to be healthier. We want you to be in the new year feeling like, wow, why didn't I do this sooner? Two tests is all it takes. Come on in. Two Longevity Medical Clinics, one in Kirkland, one in Tacoma, and then, of course, we have one in Linwood as well. Three clinics. There's got to be one close for you. Come in, pick the day and the time that work best for you, meet our doctors, see our beautiful facilities, and then do a blood test and an in-body test. And then we also have a larger blood panel. And maybe, Dr. Umat, you could explain about that test?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, Lynette, that in a traditional medical setup, if you see a primary doctor and you have a problem with the heart, they send you to a cardiologist, or bones, they send you to ortho, or pain, and so on and so forth. But when you want to stay healthy, there is nobody that sends you to a doctor. So no physician sends us patients as a routine, but yet a lot of physicians are our patients.
Yes.
The yes, doctors, that's true.
The yeah. doctors come see us, they just don't send us their patients.
Right, because the way we are set up right now, you have to have a problem before you can be seen, and there is a network of physicians, and we all know each other, and we send each other patients based on what is wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an urgent thing, you go to the emergency room or an urgent care. But yet, if you're healthy and your goal is, I want to prevent myself from getting sick, what do I do? There's really no guidance.
Yeah. Or I want to be healthier.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I'm healthy enough for my age. I still want to be where I was 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And more people are asking, tell me what to do so that I can maintain wellness. And so these are what we were talking about on the earlier show, health promotion versus health prevention. But the whole thing is that we look at your labs from a different lens, the same training, the same education, but we don't wait for the creatinine level to be 1.3 to say, oh, now you have kidney problem. As we see it rising, we go, hey, what are you taking? Did you do something to hurt the kidneys? How about you back off on this? And that'll help resolve the problem. We don't wait for the fasting glucose level to be 120 before we go, you know what? There's a problem here. As you're rising as you're rising from the 80s and into the 90s and still normal, we're saying, tell me what you're eating and when are you eating? And so we're more proactive in helping you recognize, understand, and change what you're doing today so that you don't develop a problem tomorrow. And that's the biggest difference. The panel we look at is the same panel any doctor can order, but with some exceptions. We look at a hormonal analysis much deeper than they would. In fact, I have women in postmenopause that tell me the doctor never measured their estrogen level. And I said, well, that's absolutely right. They won't, because they know that your estrogen level is low. What will they learn from measuring your estrogen level except rack up your bill for insurance? Yeah, nothing.
They consider it a waste of time.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to do anything
about
it.
They're not going to do anything about it. But yet, we know that estrogen in a postmenopausal woman, when given at the right time, will reduce her risk for heart disease. It will reduce her risk for dementia. It will reduce her risk for colon cancer. And there are many, many more such things. And so that's why you want to do a panel that will cost you $595, but that will give us a wealth of knowledge about what is happening to your physiology. And then you want to give us a chance to see if we can change your trajectory. And you really need to hang around with us for about a year to say, okay, did I really make a difference or not? Because you know what? We want to see the change in you. So we will measure, plot, and graph the changes several times in a year to see whether we're on the right track with you or not. At the end of the day, I cannot do it for you, but I can give you all the tools that you need to change that yourself. And that's the beauty. I have patients that have 15, 20 years of data, and they look at that data with me. And it's actually fun to see, okay, you know, 3 years ago, that value was here, and look at it today. This is the best you've done in all these years. So it's actually fun to kind of look at where they were and to show them where they are going. And that's the difference. That's the difference between what we do and they do. 1 hour visits, because we care about what you think is going wrong, and we want to prevent it from becoming worse. Again, that prevention promotion, take it whichever way you like it. The end result is the same, whichever one you like.
The goal is to make you the best you can be.
At any age.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We need you to come see us at Longevity Medical Clinics. There are three clinics to help you and serve you: Tacoma, Linwood, and in Kirkland as well. So make that appointment for what we call the free health analysis appointment. 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. All right. Doctors, ready for another phone call?
Let's do it.
Okay, and we have room for maybe one more call. 206-421-5757. Right now we're headed to Eatonville. We have Ed on the line. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Ed.
Hello there. I have been taking turmeric or cumin for a number of years, and I just stumbled across what I thought was a phony ad about liver damage from curcumin. And then I started looking it up, and I mean, there's a number of listings, the American Journal of Medicine, Medical News Today, and so on, that list that and even green tea as potential damaging in the liver. And it is when you're taking it with black pepper. So just curious, I know you've been talking about turmeric for quite some time, so I thought I'd get your experience on it.
Well, the poison is in the dose. Okay. Mm-hmm. Almost anything will do you harm if you have blood levels of it high enough. I am reminded of a disaster down in Los Angeles several years ago. A shock jock on the radio wanted to have a water drinking contest on a hot summer day.
Yes.
And the winner died. Mm. She overdosed on water. And went to, pulmonary edema and died. Mm. Even water will kill you if you overdose on it, right? And certainly that's true for everything else. Mm. Piperine, a ingredient in black pepper, helps you to absorb flavonoids and polyphenols more efficiently. So when you mix it with turmeric or with resveratrol or with any of these other compounds, you will actually absorb them into your bloodstream more efficiently than you would the compound alone. Mm-hmm. And so if you're using a very high dose and you're using something like the piperine to increase absorption, it is conceivable that you might end up with liver damage. It's especially true if you're a drinker. Mm-hmm. alcohol gets in the way of the metabolism of the liver big time. That's why alcoholics often develop cirrhosis of the liver. Their liver is actually dying. And obviously a cirrhotic liver is not going to be able to handle even the so-called normal doses of vegetables and so on. And turmeric is, you know, it's from a plant. Every Indian I know cooks with more turmeric than you're going to find in a standard supplement every day of their lives.
Do not run out of that spice in our house.
No. No. They don't do it in milligrams. They do it in heaping teaspoons.
Yes. We buy bags of it.
Yes. But, you know, you don't find the Indian population toppling over from turmeric overdoses.
In fact, we are a very populous country.
You got it.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
At least they have some babies before they die of turmeric overdose. Yeah, no. So, you know, it's not something I'm especially worried about, but we do liver enzyme studies on all of our patients every 3 months. So every time our patients come in the door, their liver enzymes are checked. And if we see it rises in liver enzymes, we will get to the bottom of why.
Right. Moral of the story, eat it.
That's right.
In your food.
Enjoy your turmeric.
That's right. Okay, Ed, was that helpful for you?
Yeah. What is the level?
Uh-oh. Can't really hear you. We're going to see if we can clear that up.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll be back with you, Ed and Linda, in just a moment. Stay right there.
You're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please, to come home. Oh, Cecilia,
no. Leading Edge Medicine.
This song.
I was waiting for it.
He's down on his knees and he's begging Jerry.
Oh, no. A man on his knees gets no respect from the woman. None.
He's begging.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, I've been married to Bendy for 20 years. She is absolute love of my life, the center of my universe. But I should have waited 6 more months to marry her because I never dated a girl named Cecilia. I should have worked in one more.
Oh, my God, Jerry.
Oh, boy.
No. Goodness me, no. Jerry.
Okay,
there's
Ed.
There's a lack in my life.
Ed, you better get in here and help us out.
Louise.
Oh, Ed, you had one last question. Let's see if we can hear you on this one.
What is the safe level of turmeric to be taken daily?
I don't know.
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, in almost 50 years of medical practice, I have never yet had elevated liver enzymes from turmeric overdose. It's never happened. So,
well, don't tempt fate, Jerry.
Yes.
There must be a level. But, you know, most of my patients get their turmeric either in a supplement, and those levels we know are safe. You know, if you're only taking 300-500 milligrams of turmeric once or twice a day, you are not going to get overdosed. Because the average yellow curry, you know, cooked by either Indians or Chinese is going to have a whole lot more turmeric in it than you're going to get in any supplement.
Now I want curry.
But most people eating curry are not taking black pepper extract with it to enhance the absorption.
No, they put black pepper in the curry with the turmeric, Jerry.
That's right. But the extract is isolating the piperine, the active ingredient.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you've got an extract that concentrates the active ingredient in the black pepper and you do lots of the turmeric, then maybe. But like I said, 50 years of medicine, I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen yellow fingers, but...
Yeah, but that's usually for the women cooking.
And the clothes get yellow.
Yes, well, and if you go to certain celebrations in India, you'll see them blue and green and yellow and red,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, we like color.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that's helpful,
Sorry
Ed.
We can't answer that
Sorry,
question for
I
you,
I don't know, yeah.
All right, we're going to slip one last call in today. We are headed over here to talk with Linda. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Linda.
Hi. I just had a quick question about nausea during pregnancy. My daughter is about a little over a month along, and she has two other children. The youngest is three, and mm-hmm. she says she has 24/7 nausea. Aww. And she just was wondering, you know, if there's any home remedies. She went yesterday, I guess, somewhere and got a vitamin drip. And she said they added just a tad of Zofran. I think she said Zofran in it.
Zofran.
I don't know. I think
Zofran,
that's
Zofran is antiemetic.
Yeah, she said it seems to have helped just like ever so slightly. But she said she's in San Diego, and she called me this morning and said, can you call Dr. Mixon and ask him about this?
All right. Well, you know, we know what's going on, and that is the rapid rise in estrogen with the pregnancy. And some women, in fact, most women get some queasiness. And that's why, you know, on the movies, every time a female actress vomits, you know, they've just made her pregnant for the show.
Yeah.
It's the only reason girls vomit on TV is pregnancy. Yeah, personally, I suspect it's too much scotch more often.
But, you know, I mean, this can become a medical problem as well. So if she is having too much nausea and she's throwing up and not keeping anything down, she obviously needs medical attention. Yeah. With pregnancy, we always worry, you know, is there a side effect with the drugs? But personally, I would say stay away from strong odors. They can trigger anything for you. Bland foods are better. But also ginger.
Ginger and soda crackers.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was always what I told my pregnant ladies.
Yes. And ginger in any form. In fact, I would tell people to drink ginger tea or, you know, cook with ginger a little bit, or even just buy sugar candy, ginger candy you can buy that has sugar in it so that you can tolerate the ginger.
And the sweet tends to settle your stomach, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, ginger candy, a little bit of actual fresh ginger.
Yeah.
So
buy the ginger root, scrape it up and cut it into 10 slices, and you can either just bite into it. It's a little pungent. You may not like it if you're not used to it. But just use the ginger candy. It's available in every store now. Candy, ginger, health food stores carry it.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome, ma'am.
All right. Thank you for that one, Linda. Okay, that is it for our phone calls, doctors.
All right,
any last words before we head out in a few minutes?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. Thanksgiving
next weekend.
Everybody but the turkey is going to be celebrating.
That's right. And we will all be celebrating next weekend with families. So
that's
we will not be in the studio live with the show. However, we've got a great show we've put together for you.
Yes,
happy shopping, happy eating, happy family
play.
Time, happy personal time, happy me time, whatever it is.
It is.
Yay.
That's right.
Okay.
No, just have a great time.
There you go. So, Dr. Mixon, what is your favorite food on the table for Thanksgiving?
Cranberry.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love cranberry sauce.
Oh, I bet Bending makes wonderful, homemade, yummy.
You know, I'm the one who cooks on Thanksgiving.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Did not know that.
Thanksgiving is not a Chinese holiday.
That's
She's
true.
Never cooked a turkey in her life and has no interest in learning. And she said, this is your holiday, you cook.
How fun.
We've got another Chinese family coming over. And so I am going to be the cook. Now, you have to realize that I have warned my wife and everyone around for decades. I am a survival cook.
Right. I was going to say, I hope you've ordered the turkey.
Yes.
If you eat what I cook, you will survive.
You will.
I make no promise beyond that.
Balanceability,
matter of personal taste. That's why I like cranberry. I open the can.
Oh, no, Jerry. That's so easy to make, cranberry sauce. The easiest thing to make.
I know. I open the can.
You buy the cranberry.
Oh, that's so funny. And Dr. Matt, how about you? What's your favorite Thanksgiving food, or do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, absolutely, we do. Dinner. I actually like just every part of it, okay, because it's all about being together with, yes, friends and family. So it's not just one day. For me, it's a, mm-hmm, whole weekend.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the best part is seeing everybody, yeah, gather.
Well, you know what? I do the turkey.
Yeah.
I usually get a great big syringe from the office.
Mm. Okay.
And a 14-gauge needle.
Okay.
And I suck up.
Didn't know we had 14-gauge,
wow,
needles.
I don't. But I grab them from the hospital. Yeah. And I suck up hot butter.
Okay.
And inject it into the turkey meat.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So I've got butter going all through the turkey meat,
yes,
from the inside.
Okay.
Then I bake this turkey and baste it.
Okay.
And so it's very rich, very moist, very sweet. So my turkeys are pretty good, but the only reason is because I inject them with
butter.
There you go. Do you wear a surgical mask and a white coat
while you're doing it? Turkey's already dead. What the hell? He's not going to suffer any further.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Well, we hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving
and
celebration.
And Lynette, what's your favorite part of
mine?
Thanksgiving?
Oh, I used to not like the stuffing because my mom would take it out of the bird and I thought it was the guts of the bird. So I never liked that until I realized, ooh, it's really good. And now it's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh.
And I think for Washington State, stuffing is the number one side choice, and macaroni and cheese is up in the top five, which I just always thought was silly, but my grown children make it from scratch and make homemade mac and cheese. So, okay, it's a side dish now.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. We wish you all the best. We will have a wonderful show ready for you next Saturday, and then we'll be back live taking your calls 2 weeks from today. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time on Leading Edge Medicine.